I want to thank all those brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service on this morning. I want to thank our brother, our song leader, who led us in songs, may have us to think about going to heaven, about making heaven our home. And that's what we should be thinking about. And we want to be mindful that our purpose for assembling here on this morning is that we worship God. And I want to say that, again, I'd like to start with, I want to welcome everyone that's here this morning. Amen? Amen. And I'd like to just remind myself and all of us that our purpose for being here in Acts 2:42, we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible teaches us that Luke penned that they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. The Bible says not only were they studying from the word of God or hearing from the apostles' teaching, but also the Bible talks about fellowship. And that's when we give back to God as God had blessed us with. We share with God what God had blessed us with. And then also in the breaking of bread, the Bible says, and in prayer. And then in verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God, we sing with the fruit of our lips. We don't need mechanical instrument because that's not taught in the New Testament. We sing to God, according to Hebrew writer, with the fruit of our lips. And the Bible says, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Amen? If you're here this morning and you are not a member of the Lord's church, no one is saved from their sins until they're added to the church by the Lord. Yeah, one must be obedient to what the Lord says, and I'll share that with you at the close of the message. If you are one that sit in that seat where I want to obey the Lord and I want to become a Christian, that we've had over the past several weeks where we've had individuals that have obeyed the Lord, have been taught the word of God, and they have obeyed the Lord. We're in Titus chapter number 3. And on last Lord's Day, we studied from the word of God how that the Christian should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And it should be because of the mercy that God has shown to us. Amen? Amen. I would like to share, it's not so important what you drive. It's not so important what you drive. It's more important what drives you. Yeah. What is our motivation for what we do? Are we motivated by the love of God and are influenced from the word of God that shapes our attitudes, actions, and decision making? We can't live soberly, righteously, and godly unless my love for God and the word of God influences me to live as God would have me to live. Amen? Amen. And so on this morning, continuing in Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, I want to speak from the subject that was read in your hearing. But according to his mercy, he saved us. But according to his mercy, he saved us. So Paul, in what we call Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul begins chapter 3 looking at the relationship that the Christian ought to have with civil government. Paul said to Titus, put them in mind, the apostle said, to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Yeah, Paul said, teach them that Christians are to obey those in authority and whatever they require of us, except when they demand something that is against the will of God. Yeah, we are supposed to be, Paul is talking to those individuals because the time Nero was there and he had a government that was not upright. However, the teaching to us as Christians today in 2023, we still are to obey them that have the rule over us. Amen? Yeah, but that should always be the case. And the only time we're not, look at your Bibles in Acts chapter 5. When do I not obey government? When do I not obey those things that we find that government may ask us to do? Well, Peter made a statement in Acts 5:29. The Bible says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Yeah, when man institute laws that cause me not to do what God's will is, that is the time when I understand that I don't obey what man say. But also we want to understand, turn your Bibles, let you do a little work with your Bibles this morning. Meet me in Matthew chapter 17, because I also want to show in Matthew 17 verse 24 that Jesus, while he was on earth, obeyed authorities. Yeah. In Matthew 7:24, the Bible reads, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, do it not your master pay tribute? And so, in other words, they asked Jesus, asked Jesus' disciples, when it comes to your master, does he pay taxes? Yeah, Jesus was a citizen of the law. The Bible says, he said, yes. And when he would come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? He's asked Peter a question. When it comes to those that we have a president in the United States, when it comes to our government, do we pay taxes? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, Jesus said, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened its mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Jesus said, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Yeah. So Paul's teaching to Titus is consistent with the behavior of Jesus, that we are to obey those in civil government. Yeah, we ought to be Christians, ought to be the best citizens in the world. Why? Because we live according to the will of God. And when it comes to those in government, Paul shared with them in verse number 2. He said, now teach them, not only put this in their mind, that they are to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Paul was telling Titus, you share with those that are Christians, that we are not to speak evil of government. Yeah. Doesn't matter how that person served as a leader. The Lord said to the Christian, don't speak evil of no man, which includes those in government. Yeah. Then he said, also, there are not to be brawlers. Yeah, brawler, the word means, brawlers mean fighting those in authority. Let me say this. Christians, we know about, we should know about January the 6th, what happened. Christians are not to be a part of any violent attempt to take control of a government. That's insurrection. Yeah. There should have been no Christians in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Part of an insurrection. The Bible said we are not brawlers. We don't fight the government. Notice what he says. But teach them, Paul said, to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And those men also include those that are in government. A Christian spirit, we live without anger towards anybody. Yeah, that's the Christian spirit. Yeah. I don't speak evil of no man. I don't walk around putting down my brother, putting down my sister. I don't speak evil of nobody. But I'm to carry myself as the Lord said. Sometimes as a Christian, as I said oftentimes with us, when we know better, we need to do better. This is from the word of God. What God said, the mind, notice he said, put this in their mind. And I talk about our attitudes and our action, our decision making has to be influenced by the word of God. If not, we're what Paul talked about in verse number 3. He said, for we, he included himself, also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Not only were we hateful and hating one another. Yeah. Paul said, there was a time when we were foolish. What is foolish, Brother Stroud? When I'm not able to control my desires. Yeah. Yeah, I can't control myself. That's foolish, according to the word of God. Paul said, there was a time when we also were disobedient. The word disobedient means unwilling to be persuaded. In other words, sometimes as a Christian, can't nobody tell you nothing. You're going to do what you want to do. I don't care what that Bible says. I'm going to do what I want to do. You are disobedient. I'm disobedient when I can't be persuaded by the word of God. Paul said not only that, they were deceived. We were deceived. Yeah, that's to be led from the right path. Sometimes I can be on my way to worship service. Somebody say something to me, and next thing I know, I'm not going to worship. Yeah. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I tell myself, don't go to worship. We can deceive our own selves. Paul said, not only that, there was a time when we served divers, lust, and pleasures. Yeah. The word pleasures here means when I gratify sinful desires, when I'm doing things, playing the numbers and doing those things that are not consistent with the will of God, living like I'm in the world. Paul said there was a time when we all were there. And not only that, Paul said, we lived in malice. Malice is a desire to want to hurt somebody. And sometimes you don't have to hurt a person physically. You can hurt them with your mouth. Yeah, you can talk a person down. You can hurt them. You can hurt their reputation. You can talk down. Paul said there was a time when I lived in malice. And I was in envy. And then he said I was hateful. You know. And I said before, and I try to teach the congregation by example, there ought not be nobody that you dislike. What do you mean by what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean that I like their behavior. But the behavior is not the person. Behavior is the behavior. We have to learn to separate the person from the behavior. Yeah. There are ways that a person may have that I don't care for, but when it comes to the person, I don't have a dislike for that person. Yeah. Paul said it was hating and hating one another. Let me say this to all of us. Every one of us have a rearview mirror in our lives that was not so good. Yeah. I can look in my rearview mirror and I can see behaviors in my past when I personally was foolish. I was disobedient. I was deceived. I was giving in to whatever sinful behaviors I wanted to do when I wanted to hurt people and when I was hating people. But that ought to be in my rear view mirror. Yeah. Everybody got one. That's the reason why I don't talk about nobody. Yeah. What makes my sin better than their sin? What makes my sin cleaner than their sin? Sin is sin. God hates it all. So when I look at the Word of God, when I look at verse number 3, it allows me not to talk about nobody else. Paul said, while we was living the way we were living. Paul said, but after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. God showed love toward man while we were still enemies of God. And that's why one of the, hopefully, more known scriptures that we may know where Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, God loved everybody, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. And see, we got to understand. Let me help with what I was saying. Turn to John chapter 13. Let me help us with this, because this helped me. This helped me and blessed me, and hopefully it'll bless you too. We talk about how, they used to have expression, what did Jesus do? Yeah, that was a long time. What did Jesus do, or what would Jesus do? Well, let me show you what Jesus did in John 13. And this can show us when we are growing to the level Jesus was at. The Bible says, John 13, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do to him. He knew his hour was coming. Judas was about to sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And the Bible teaches me and you, Jesus loved them to the end. That teaches me all I can do is just love people to the end. Stop hating people. Stop being mean to people. Yeah, we come here and we assemble and we say we Christians, but we don't behave that way, some of us. But God showed us love. Notice what Romans 5 and 6 said. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, while we were still doing what we were doing, and the word strength here, notice the Bible says, without strength. Yeah, meaning that that word means the inability or lack of power of man to accomplish his own salvation. No one can save themselves. It took Jesus. The Bible says God loved us so much, and he commended his love toward us in that Romans letter, that God, in his love for us, Paul wrote to the Romans, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, when I think about that, when I think about the fact how much God loved me, I ought to have that same love for God. Yeah. Because Paul then said with them, he said, it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done when God showed that love to us. It was not because we was living righteous. But here's my title. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches us that God showed each of us some mercy. Mercy, by definition, is an outward showing of sympathy. God showed us some sympathy by the fact that Jesus Christ, as we've sung this morning, went on that cross. Yeah. The mercy shown by Jesus, notice in the text, must be accompanied by obedience of baptism in water. The Bible says Jesus did his part to save us. Now we have to do our part. The word save in the text means God loved us so much that Jesus died for us. He delivered us from suffering and eternal punishment. Anyone that is of the age of accountability that does not obey God and be washed and regenerated, you are on your way to an eternal hell. That's why we teach the word of God. Yeah. Jesus did for us what we could not do. We can't even fathom how to be suffering so long. Remember, Jesus gave an example how he said, dip your finger in water that you may cool off my tongue. Jesus did that for us. And Jesus gave us a picture of that in his word, gave us a picture of that, how when a man is lost eternally, how that happens. And so we want to understand that we have to be obedient to God. He said the washing of regeneration. The word regeneration means we have to be born again. Born again. That is a spiritual birth involving water and the Spirit, according to John 3:5. Yeah. Baptism in water constitutes a spiritual birth. No one is a child of God until they are water baptized for the forgiveness of their sin. Nobody. Yeah, we love people and love them to death, but until they obey God. Yeah. So Paul reminded, though they were Christians, But he reminded them of the mercy that God did to save them and what our part is in being obedient to the word of God. Because Jesus, when he talked to Nicodemus, he said, Bible said, Jesus answered, answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of the water means you have to be baptized. And be born of the Spirit means the Holy Spirit gave the instructions that one must do in order to become a Christian. Being born again involves five steps. Hearing the gospel of Christ, hearing that Jesus Christ died for our sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. I must believe that message. I must repent of my sins. I then must confess Christ as God's Son. And being baptized into water for the forgiveness of sin, that means that one is now a Christian and a child of God. Yeah. So that's why God did what he did for us. And then Paul said to Titus, he says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Paul was sharing with him, he was showing him how the Spirit, what God did, the word shed means to pour out. What God did through the Holy Spirit was poured out his word, Paul said, unto us, the apostles, and it was done abundantly through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus gives that example of how that was done in John 15 and verse 26 when he talked about the Holy Spirit, when he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So what Paul said to them is what Jesus did. And when you look at Titus 3:6, what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit shared abundantly the word from the Father to those apostles through Jesus Christ. And so we have the word of God that we can live by the word of God. And then Paul said in verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be heirs, should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what Brother Hill was leading us in songs today. As he sung those songs, he talking about heaven. He talking about the hope of eternal life. And Paul said to them, when the Lord says, being justified by his grace. The word justify means I'm in a court of law. And I am guilty of my sins. But what God does, he allows my advocate in Jesus Christ. The Lord said, Your Honor, I know he is wrong. And I know he deserves, she deserves eternal punishment. What I'm going to do, Your Honor, today, I'm going to take off my robe. I'm going to change clothes with him. And I'm going to suffer his punishment for him. God said, so let me get this right. You are going to die for him. Jesus said, yes, I want to acquit him of anything he has done. Well, now, if you're going to die, I want you to know something, Jesus. The Romans were the most efficient of killing a person. Now you need to know this, and that's why in John 13, when Jesus said, but knowing that his hour was come. See, it's one thing to think about something, but it's one thing to know the realization of it. So he told Jesus, now, if you're going to take the seat or the punishment of the world, understand the Romans are going to nail you to a cross. Your hands and your feet. And they're going to leave you there until you die on that cross. But according to his mercy, he saved us. He went to that cross and died on that cross when he couldn't raise himself up anymore. And he slumped down and he couldn't breathe. He died on the cross. The Bible says in John 19:34, a soldier came up there and pierced him in his side. Bible says out came both blood and water. That's why when we die to sin, we must come in contact with the water. And by faith, Christ's blood is in the water, because the Hebrew writer said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus freed the Christian from the guilt of their sins upon obedience to the gospel of Christ by his grace. And we now have the hope of eternal life. We got the hope of it. Before I close this morning, I want to share with us one thing, one text of scripture. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. I want to share with each one of us that are Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to come up today. Now that you understand what Jesus did for you, he suffered for you on the cross, he died for your sin, and now you need to obey the gospel and become a Christian, a child of God. But I want to say to each of us, in closing, don't go back into the world. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? Peter said, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, the word pollutions in the text means immoral or ungodly behavior. That's what it means. It ain't talking about pollution, it's pollutions. Peter said, if you have escaped all that immoral behavior that Paul talked about to Titus in Titus 3:3, when you was out there drinking and fornicating and all that we were doing. Yeah, I'm putting myself there. Yeah. After I have escaped all of that, living unmoral, doing anything you was big enough to do, you was out there sinning and just do. I was out there just sinning. Peter said, if after you have escaped all that living like that, Brother Stroud, how does it happen? Peter said it. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody, when I was still at TSU, Yeah. On the yard, GSU, doing everything I thought I was big enough to do, Harold. Yeah. And I left, the Lord allowed me finish Texas Southern and to get out in the world. And I was still living in the world. Yeah. Shacking up, doing that ain't new. Yeah. Those were my pollutions. Yeah. Me. But somebody came by and taught me the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, while I was out there, still out there. And I remember one time, I'm talking about me. I remember one time I was out there in the world, I was doing what I do. Someone broke into where I was living. See, this brings, you look at your rearview mirror. And I remember somebody broke, back then it was hot, you had the windows up in the house. And people walked by looking to break into your house. And the window was up and they broke in. Took the screen off, came through the window, a couple of people came in. And when I woke up, all I saw was two people standing in front of me. Now, I didn't know what they had, and they didn't know what I had. And something told me to say, "Give me my gun." I ain't never had a gun in all my life. I mean, you say pistol and I might run. Something told me to say, "Give me my." And when they heard that, now, what I'm saying to you that I want to understand is that they could have had a gun and could have killed me right then. That's the mercy of God. And when I said that, they took back off, went back out through the same way they came. You know, sometimes when a person do something, they know how to go back. And I think back about God allowed me to live when I could have died. And so Peter says, someone taught me the gospel. I obeyed the gospel. And then Peter says to all of us, after, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome. Peter says their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So I want to say to all of us, and I put myself there first, just look at your rearview mirror and think about situations when you were out there in the world and you could have died. Or if even not death, something terrible could have happened to you. God showed you some mercy. And that's why now I'm concerned about what drives me and not what I drive. It is the word of God, my love for the Lord. See, when I talked about last week about when he said, that you should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Yeah, what the Lord was saying, soberly means I got to start first showing self-restraint in my behavior. Righteously means I got to start doing what's right. Watch the last part of that. Godly means my respect for God. See, when you don't have respect for God, you'll do anything. And some of us in the Lord's church do not respect God. Yeah. Because part of respecting God, I said last week, if I'm able, I should be able to come and worship God in spirit and in truth. Yeah. So if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. And hopefully that letter, as I said, when you go back, the word of God, but according to his mercy, God saved each of us. And now what I want to do, I want it to be reciprocal. I want to give back the love to God that God gave me. How do I show love to God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my... Yeah, that's how I show my love to God. I got to just live right. And those things in my behavior, in my actions, my attitudes is not right. I want the word of God to show me how to live better and be a better Christian. You here this morning and you're not a Christian. How do I become a Christian? I've shared it already in my word. You have to hear, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, how Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must believe that teaching. Yeah. You must then, after I hear it, I believe it, I must repent of my sin, meaning what you've been living in the world right now. Yeah, you got to turn toward God. That's the beginning of repentance. It starts in my mind. Then I need to come up here, according to Acts 8:37. I'll make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make that confession. Then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of every sin that you've done in your life. And the Lord, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. There's someone today that is subject to the invitation. We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.